everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you. Man, this is a good monsoon season, to say the least. The summer thunderstorm season off and running. Tom Fairbanks is my engineer producer on the other side of the glass on this.
So you're going to declare it a month in?
Well, just
you're going to declare it a good monsoon?
Well, a couple of days ago, you recall. Yeah, okay, I know.
I'm with you. It's a heck of a lot better than it was last year.
It was either Thursday or Friday with you. I was saying that this summer thunderstorm season was kind of eerily
similar
maybe to last year.
Yeah.
I take that back. Up at our place, over 4 inches of rain in the last 12 or 13 days. Already at the airport, they've had more rain than the whole monsoon 2020.
Yeah, last season we were getting optimistic, shall we say, predictions that just didn't seem to come true.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
this time around, boy, we're getting them.
And I'm looking at these numbers for the forecast, 50% chances.
Yeah, by Saturday, yeah.
Yeah, and then developing almost every day, 50%. So
yeah,
it's kind of like harkens back to the monsoon of old, when you could set your clock by the afternoon thunderstorms. When I first came out here in the 60s to go to school from Chicago, spent one summer out here during my 4 years at the U of A to go to summer school, and I couldn't believe it. It was like every afternoon, Tom, 2:30 to 3 o'clock, afternoon buildup on the Catalinas, and a thunderstorm, a shower.
And one of the things I like, even though they can be dangerous and they can cause fires, are some of the spectacular lightning shows.
Been incredible. Yeah, we have had, but I will say this, we've had some really strong winds, and there's been these kind of microbursts, which have made this kind of a very, it can, in some ways, very dangerous summer storm season. We're in our 11th year here in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. Our radio station is 1030 Tucson's voice for trusted news talk, worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com, where we piggyback the live feed from kvoi.com. The Buckmaster Show live line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go now on the live line. Ward 2, Tucson City Councilman Paul Cunningham. He is a Democrat, and he's with us on the live line. Hey, Paul, how are you?
I'm doing well, Bill. I'm really excited about the rain. I made a bike ride on the loop the last 2 days, and it's been pretty impressive. The girth and the flow of the river, which was a long time. I think it's a long time since we've had water in that thing. So the Rialto looks great, and actually Pantano Wash looks great too. So very excited.
Well, I'll tell you something that we haven't seen in a long time are these numbers. Someone called my attention to this. During the COVID, I would religiously every morning go to the Arizona Department of Health Services to see what's the latest case count. And someone sent me an email saying, Bill, have you taken a look at today's numbers, number of cases, new COVID cases? It's almost 2,000 new cases in Arizona. I haven't seen those numbers in a long time. Maricopa County's over 1,400 cases. Pima County, which has been in averaging like 50, maybe 70 cases, we're at 141. When the mayor was here, it was last Thursday in studio with me, Mayor Romero, I asked her about the restrictions in the city, even though it is kind of more of a advisory, but she says there's no plans in the city to lift any of the COVID restrictions. Are you concerned about these new, obviously Delta variant driven numbers, Paul Cunningham?
I think there's always concern. There's concern about Delta variant. There's concern about another mutation. There's concern on what percentage of the cases are for non-vaccinated and vaccinated. There's concern on what percentage of the cases are ending up in hospitalization and death. I mean, there's, all those factors and variables go into it. And probably the unspeakable, and this is what people are going to have to understand, is that if we can't get in control of this, we're going to be back to quarantining. And so that's kind of what the major concern is. If we get we're two or three bad breaks away from being back, right back where we started.
Yeah.
So I urge people to take care and practice, I guess you could say, social distance with prudence. I mean, you don't, common sense and knowing who you're with and trying to stay in the same circles. I mean, I'd say try to do those things. I know there's going to be events that are have to be's. I know that everybody's been cooped up for 15 months, and the last thing you want to do is take any things. And there's a lot of folks who've been vaccinated and are like, hey, look, I'm good to go. So there's all kinds of different things about it. And it's kind of it's kind of a gray area, kind of wait and see thing. But the bottom line is that if we can't get our numbers down, we might be back where we started, especially if the hospitals start filling up. So that's the big concern. And I got to say, look, you know, everybody knows that the county and I may not be seeing eye to eye right now, but Pima County Health has done a fabulous job. And they're probably one of the most phenomenal health departments in the country when it came to COVID response and leading the way. And I can't reiterate that more.
Well, I know a lot of people are starting to wear masks again, and they've been vaccinated because they just don't want to take a chance, Paul Cunningham.
Yeah, absolutely not. I mean, they don't, and I totally understand that. And I think that, again, we're going to see, I mean, the hard part is, what are we going to see now? Are we going to bring the mask mandate back? And I think that may be, again, that some of that's going to be superseded by the governor. So I think there's a lot of different variables, both from a public health standpoint and a public policy standpoint.
All right, Paul, we're hoping to have you in studio here momentarily. Maybe we'll go ahead and take the break right now. Would that be a good idea?
I bet you that will work really well because I should be there on the other side of it either way.
Okay, great. We are going to go ahead and take the break right here. We're taking it a couple of minutes early. That will give us probably almost 20 full minutes with Paul Cunningham in studio. I haven't seen Paul in studio in a while. That'll be a treat. It's Buckmaster in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio, our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let me talk about Green Things real fast right now before we do take the break. The rain obviously has been great for everything that's green, right? Over at Green Things on their 13-acre site. So everybody's really excited over there, Jan and Jack, the owners, to get that rain. It really has been a big deal. Everything's greened up. So now is the time to go and get your plants for the late summer and into the fall. Plants that are going to do well with a little moisture, which we are getting. GreenThingsAZ.com is the website. When you're there, stop by Zocalo Village. And if you're looking for some beautiful handcrafted furniture, you'll find it at Zocalo Village. They have a separate website from Green Things. The Zocalo Village website is ZocaloVillage.com. It's Buckmaster, midweek edition. Be right back.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at VeroAmorePizza.com.
Why is mining so important? It's the foundation of everything that defines a society. Everything you see is a product of mining. No matter when, no matter how, no matter why, every society on this planet has developed, grown, and modernized based solely on the minerals it could process. That, my friend, is why mining is so important.
Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
The Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 15 years of project delivery to the greater Tucson region. As promised, the RTA has delivered nearly 900 projects from its 20-year 2006 voter-approved regional transportation plan, which is funded by a half-cent RTA tax. The RTA is committed to deliver the remaining plan projects. Learn more about the RTA's economic benefits at rtamobility.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
Reed Park Zoo is now open for wildlife walks, a modified guest experience, prioritizing social distancing and safety. To find out more about all the changes and the new safety precautions now in place, visit reedparkzoo.org. The community-approved 10-year master plan ensures that your zoo's future is brighter than ever before. We've missed you, and so have the animals. They're waiting to welcome you back to the Reed Park Zoo. MedCare to You is a new Tucson-based concierge telemedicine urgent care, specializing in caring for our patients in the comfort of your location. We deliver your prescriptions and even provide in-person visits with our dedicated staff. It's convenient, quick, private, and your personal information is always protected. Find out more at MedCareToYouAZ.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show midweek edition with me in studio in our Green Things Zocalo Village studio, Paul Cunningham, Tucson City Councilman. Paul, how are you?
I'm doing great.
Paul, it's great to see you. We were talking about those variants. A lot of these young people think that they are not going to get it. I was just reading one of the states that's been so hard hit, Missouri, where there's such a low vaccination rate. They're seeing young people, 20s, 30s, on ventilators.
Well, the Delta variant and the Delta variant plus that's also emerged are no joke. And what we're seeing is we've had a few deaths nationwide from people who were double vaccinated. So it's a very scary situation. From what I understand in other counties, somewhere in 90 to 95%, I believe it's 95% of the breakout cases are people who are not vaccinated.
Right.
And 98 to 99% of the people in the hospital are not vaccinated. Mm-hmm. But still, the Delta variant can COVID has been unforgiving, as we all know. And we have to be vigilant in everything we do. And unfortunately, The frustrating piece is, and I'm going to say it, but I don't mean this as a slight, and that is that if we had a 75 to 80% vaccinated population, we'd be having such a different conversation.
Right what now. Are we here in Pima County? Are we at about 70%? Or?
We're right around 70 for adults.
Yeah, for adults.
So we're actually more than that. We're probably more 74, 75 for adults.
Yeah.
But We also have a group from 12 to 18.
Yeah.
That's a very low number.
Yeah.
And then we can't vaccinate people under 12 yet. And that may come.
Yeah.
Some other bad news, Johnson & Johnson's probably going to have another health advisory.
Yeah.
So, but again, that vaccine is older technology.
Right.
This mRNA, the two mRNA vaccines are a little bit different.
And then we've got campus going to be, the students are returning to the University of Arizona, and the governor said no, he will not require the students to be vaccinated, saying that because this vaccine is still provisional. That's one thing I wish the FDA would, first of all, go ahead, make this, take away that provisional thing that you've got on the vaccine.
Well, then I think they're coming in December with that, and I think the reason is, from what I understand, under provisionals, I mean under approved, there has to be a year lapse of time, and so they don't have a critical mass number of test cases that'll be a year old until September, so they can't even find. And you know what? I understand that. I do. I mean, you don't know what something's going to do a year later. So I get that and I understand that. But at the end of the day, Pfizer has been in the vaccine and drug business for 70, 75 years. And, you know, there are medications and vaccines that have come out years and years and years and years where if there is empirical evidence, they do more harm than good. We pull them off the market. We're going through that process right now with opiates, where we're going to find out that they're just not the right painkiller for
us. And speaking of opiates, Grant Woods was on the show, the former attorney general. He was on the program Friday saying that he was representing the city of Tucson and Pima County in this huge opioid lawsuit.
Yep.
And there's going to be a ton of money coming toward, maybe I shouldn't say a ton of money, because the company that they sued has actually declared bankruptcy.
The way we understand it is it's going to be it's one-time money, maybe 1.6.
That would go to help people who have opioid addiction.
It'll be to fight drug act, but
I take that back. It isn't going to be a ton of money, but it's going to be some money toward opiate.
And remember, opiates
prevention.
30 years ago, certain opiates were the gold standard in rehab, rehabilitation, if you suffered injuries. Which reminds me, suffering injuries. Mm-hmm. How's your arm, man?
It's doing well. I was really sweating it out, and I know so many wonderful people have been following my adventure that started 8 weeks ago, a little over 8 weeks ago, 8 weeks Monday up in Alaska, breaking my arm. Paul, as you know, bones usually take 6 to 8 weeks to heal. It can then go into the 12-week period and that's why I'll be going back for another x-ray in 4 weeks. But here's the good news. They did the x-ray over at Tucson Orthopedic Institute, and the break had about a half an inch break that was just not where it should be. The doctors like to see it under a quarter of an inch for it to heal naturally. But guess what? It's almost completely remodeled. It's almost there. That was one thing I was just really, really hoping that the bone was going to be okay, and it's going to be okay. And now it's up to PT to kind of, you've got what they call adhesive encapsulation of my shoulder, which means there's a movement that right now I can't do, and it's going to take pretty painful physical therapy to break that stuff down.
Well, is it your throwing arm or is it your...
Unfortunately, it is. Yeah, I'm a right-hander.
So,
but, you know, I said to the doctor, I want to get 80 to 90% back. And they said, yeah, that's it. That'd be doable. It's not going to be overnight. But the important thing yesterday was to get that bone healed. And it's healing. And because I did go the non-surgery route. And I'm glad now that I did, but it's been, thanks for asking anyway. A couple of items I want to talk about. Tucson Electric Power wants to put huge poles down Campbell Avenue. There is an ordinance. The city could defend an ordinance that would prohibit the utility from installing those lines overhead. Is that realistic, Paul Cunningham?
Well, I'm already on the record as against the poles. I've come on the show before and said, look, and there are certain places with the way our array is set up where we look like a third world country. It's absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah.
TEP does not want to cooperate at all to bury telephone poles. But I should say, let me give a disclaimer for TEP, and everybody knows I'm not taking up their water, but the bottom line is that they don't have to, and they answer for their shareholders. Their shareholders are that those are who they serve, and their margins are important, and so why would they take on higher expense for anything? And so I understand that.
Sure.
And so we need to be fair to them and not say they're this horrible group. Mm-hmm. They're business people. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I want to work with them as much as possible to underground as fast as possible. And I think we're looking at it wrong. As we start talking about underground and utilities, we go through these discussions. Okay, let's underground this one strip of Grant Road from this place to this place, from say Dodge to Swan or whatever mm-hmm. we're talking about. Mm-hmm. Well, that's going to cost us so much, and we're going to have to build a new transformer.
They say 10 times the cost of
right.
going.
I think we need to stop talking about it that way. What we need to start talking about is actually building a network of tunnels now that are geologically responsible, environmentally responsible, and then moving things all at once gradually. Like the way that, you know, if you go to New York City, you don't see any telephone poles. Why? Well, everything's in the subway. they do it all in the subway lines. Mm-hmm. They do it all in, they put all the things into one access tunnel. Mm-hmm. And so with some of the boring technology that's out there and everything, I think we need to start looking at this different and say, all right, what underground infrastructure exists? What infrastructure can be built, and not actually say we're going to move utilities there. We're just going to say we're going to put some underground infrastructure in, and ultimately that may lead to utilities. But I think we're right now we're not thinking holistically. I'm thinking about one stretch of road, and we can't do it that way. We're never going to get any progress at all. As far as these poles going through Midtown, can't do it. I can't be on board. I understand that there are some things with TMC. TMC will be the big piece, but I'm also thinking 25 years from now, we're going to have capacitors that can store 15 hours of energy for one home in a size of a small water bottle. So when that happens, why the heck are we going to need power lines? And so that's kind of my point is here we're going to build these giant power lines that – when we have self-contained solar houses in 20 years, we're not even going to need power lines. So why are we building all this grid work?
Getting back to this ordinance, is it a way to stop this project to go underground?
Realistically. Legally, I think so. I think we have an argument that's there, but I don't think if we stop them, we're going to end up in court. That's what I'll tell you. That's my guess. Mm-hmm. And I have not spoken with Mr. Joseph or Mr. Eddie at TEP. Steve Eddie at TEP is a great guy. He does a great job for them representing the community. But the bottom line is that project's just not going to work for me.
Mm-hmm. A quick update, and I'm running out of time. The water treatment plant that has been shut—it's been shut down, right? The one with the PFAS.
Yeah, the PFAS. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's shut down. But did we get some money from the state? What was that about? Didn't we get $2 million or something from the state to go toward moving, recharging that water or something? What
yes,
was that about?
We get $2 million from the state, and then we're also searching for some money from the Air Force. We've got some money saved up, but that plant right now that we need doesn't have the capacity to clean the water as fast as we need it to. And the PFAS levels were rising to a level that were enough for alarm to not serve it. The bottom line is that if you whatever water we're going to wheel you is going to be AAA plus water that doesn't have any contamination. And so we're not going to take any chances. We're not wheeling from that well anyway, but I want to be able to clean. It's called the tarp water. I want to be able to clean that to a AAA triple plus level and add that to what we're putting into the recharge projects in Santa Cruz. and maybe even do a recharge project someday in the Rialto.
All right. Before we let you go, the county is preparing, I'm told this is going to happen, legal action against the city of Tucson over the water rates. When the mayor was here in studio with me Thursday, she feels it's defendable, that the action that you and your colleagues have taken is legally defendable. Would you agree with the mayor?
Well, considering that...
considering that you're kind of the architect of this, or...
Look, there's 26 other cities that do this. I mean, I don't even know where to begin. I understand where the county's coming from. I'd love to talk to them about how much city property taxes, how much residents pay for city property taxes for municipal services outside the city. I mean, we have a very specific group of laws in Articles 12 and 13 of the Constitution about what municipalities and counties are charged with. And I'd love to have that. I would like to have that conversation too. Then,
all right, Paul Cunningham, good to see you. Thanks for coming by. And you have your Phoenix Suns shirt on. Do you think it's going seven? I believe it will go seven games.
We'll see what happens tonight. I think that's going to be the be-all, end-all.
It's whoever defends their home court is what I'm saying.
If the Suns can steal one on the road tonight, then it's got a chance to go five. But, you know, we'll see. Giannis played really well on Sunday.
Yeah. All right, Paul, thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. We'll take our break here midweek. Edition of the Buckmaster Show. Our Reed Park Zoo update is next.
Enjoy the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley. Savor the view while sipping on locally brewed craft beer and enjoying gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, at West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehops.com.
Have you ever imagined how your life would be without the modern conveniences you rely on every day? Everything you need depends entirely on products produced from mining. Without mining, think Stone Age. Your work commute might be a bit slower, but you could still have social media. Bathing shouldn't be a problem, but it won't be in a tub. So unless you're a caveman, you can see everything that enriches your life depends on the many miracles from mining. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Hi, Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
Welcome back. It is Buckmaster in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Thanks for joining us today. The following segment presented by the Reed Park Zoo. The zoo was founded in 1965 by the then City of Tucson Parks Director. His name was Gene Reed, and it was founded as an exhibit of exotic birds. The zoo has become one of America's top zoos, over 500 animals from all over the world. Call the zoo home, and the zoo welcomes some 500,000 visitors annually, and we're always delighted for our Reed Park Zoo update. And with us on the line, Jennifer Stoddard, Education Supervisor at the Reed Park Zoo. Hey, Jennifer, how are you?
I am great. Thank you for inviting me today.
Well, we're delighted to have you. We know the zoo is a place to go to see wild animals and spend some time in nature. I think one thing that kind of gets that flies under the radar screen, if you will, Jennifer, is the zoo's conservation mission. Would you say, Jennifer, it really is at the heart of everything you do over at the zoo?
It truly is. A lot of times, and with a lot of our partners that are accredited zoos across the country, we're really busy doing a lot of the work about conservation, but fail to stop and really celebrate a lot of our successes. And so conservation is at the very heart of the mission at the zoo. Our mission is to create inspiring memories by connecting people and animals to ensure the protection of wild animals and wild places. And we certainly do that in everything that we do at the zoo. We first want people to come out to the zoo and have a personal connection with the animals that we have here. And seeing animals up close rather than just in books or on television really encourages that empathy and understanding. And it was years ago when I was working at the zoo, and a mom came up to me and said that her children did not realize that elephants were actually real.
What?
Until she saw them at the zoo.
Oh, my goodness.
Exactly. So that, to me, really hit home. And as an educator, it really solidified kind of the role that I have within our community to encourage people to be able to make those connections. And, yeah, seeing animals in movies and books, those are, you know, certainly valid. But really getting a chance to be eye to eye with an elephant or a giraffe or any of the other animals we have here at the zoo really brings home that conservation message. And we know that we need to inspire people to care by building that empathy before they want to take action to protect wild animals and wild places.
Jennifer, is the zoo part of this species survival program? I think they call it the SSP.
It is, yeah. So we actually participate in 50 species survival plans. And we do that in collaboration with our accredited zoos and aquariums from around the world, actually, not just in the United States. And it's a way that we can responsibly manage the breeding of all of the species that are in our collective zoos to make sure that they're healthy and self-sustaining population. And so rather than, you know, a lot of people think we go out to the wild and take those animals from the wild to be put in zoos, and that's actually the opposite. We actually work really hard to maintain our own sustainable populations, but also there's been over the years several animals that have been endangered and almost extinct in the wild, such as the Arabian oryx, the California condor, and even the black-footed ferret, that through these breeding programs, we've been able to reintroduce those animals back into the wild. And now all of those animals are working toward having sustainable populations back in the wild. And that's thanks to some of those breeding programs, those species survival plans.
And so beyond the breeding programs and the education about animals and conservation, the zoo also plays a role in conservation programs around the world. How is that possible, Jennifer?
So we do that through the support of our zoo visitors. A portion of the zoo's budget and also for special events that we have goes to helping to fund conservation projects happening around the world. And this year there are seven field conservation programs that we're supporting. Two of them are kind of ones that we've been supporting for quite some time, and they're kind of our flagship conservation programs. And the first one focuses on elephants. It's the Tanzania Conservation Research Program. And we've been working with Dr. Charles Foley for a number of years. It's over 15 years. And what he's been doing in Tanzania is he is helping within the Tarangire ecosystem. He's protecting habitat for populations of endangered African elephants. So African elephants, unfortunately, they're experiencing a lot of habitat loss and also poaching. And so through this project, he's creating safe migration corridors around the national park. Just because we have a national park doesn't mean the animals know to only stay in a national park. They do have to wander out of the park for food and resources. So protecting these corridors helps to protect the elephants and also all of the other species that use the Tarangire ecosystem. And actually that migration within that ecosystem is actually one of the largest in the world. So that's a really awesome project we've been a really proud supporter of for over 15 years.
I was just going to say we're quickly kind of running out of time. So I want to summarize. There's the anteaters and the highways project. Briefly, what is that one?
Yeah, so that's a new project working in Brazil. And unfortunately, due to habitat encroachment, there's lots of roadways that are being built around in Brazil, part of the, destroying anteater habitat. And unfortunately, there's a lot of vehicle collisions that are happening as people are not able to avoid hitting the anteaters. And so that project is learning ways that they can mitigate, working with the communities and working with the government organizations, how we can stop that to protect anteaters, but also to protect people as well.
People can learn more about these projects at reedparkzoo.org, including a participation project, the Tucson Bee Collaborative Project, which involves Pima Community College, the University of Arizona, Reed Park Zoo, and the Arizona Sonora Desert Museum. That kind of brings it all home. It's a kind of a local project that actually covers 700 species of bees. So this is a real important local project, isn't it, Jennifer?
Yeah, and we're super excited. This is a new project this year, so we are very excited to be focusing on some native species. We do have a pollinator garden here at the zoo, so we are also working with North American Songbird Protection and also North American Monarch programs as well.
I want you to summarize this green initiative that you have there. What is that? What does that include?
Sure. So we are trying to inspire our guests to live green and to make choices for the environment. And we are doing the very same thing here at the zoo with our daily operations. So we meet monthly. We have a staff member from each department, and we work to evaluate what we're doing in running the zoo and how we can be more green and what choices that we can make. So we already have solar. We already work with the City of Tucson and the U of A Compost Cast to compost our food waste from the zoo's animal kitchen. And then this year, one of our new goals is to look at some of our big events, like ZooSon, the annual fundraiser, and look to ways to make those big events more sustainable by cutting down on food waste and just waste in general. So again, looking internally at how what choices we can make for the environment and continue to push ourselves to be as green and environmentally sustainable as possible.
Jennifer Stoddard is with us on our Reed Park Zoo update. She's education supervisor at the Reed Park Zoo. School programs are so important, aren't they?
Yes, we do a ton of school programs. And luckily, we have awesome support from a lot of organizations within our community. So I'm really proud to say that for this upcoming school year, for Arizona schools, we have more funding this year to do free programming than we ever have in the past. So we could do programming either virtually or on Zoo grounds, or we can travel to the schools, whatever guidelines the schools have for us this year.
And are you guys participating in what you're calling the Plastic Eco Challenge?
We are one of 376 teams worldwide, and I'm proud to say that Repark Zoo's team, as of this morning, we are in 28th place. We do have 47 members, and the challenge is to look at your daily life and to see ways that you can reduce your use of single-use plastic. So anybody can join. And if you're listening, I highly encourage you to join Reed Park Zoo's team to help us kind of get up in the rankings a little bit. And you can find out more information. The website is plasticfree.ecochallenge.org. And you'll see there's a number of our colleagues from other zoos and aquariums that also have a team as well.
All right. Before we let you go, you've got some very interesting events coming up here in the next couple of weeks.
Yes, we have summer safari going on right now, and that is every Saturday evening through August 14th. It's 5:30 to 8:30, and we have a different theme each evening. And so this Saturday, our evening is focusing on rad reptiles. So if you want to come on out and learn a little bit more about the reptiles that we have at the zoo, you can either get your tickets at the gate or on our website, which is reedparkzoo.org.
So there's a different kind of event there's a different focus every time.
There is, yes. So the website is the best place to kind of look to kind of pick what topics might be interesting to you. You actually can come and enjoy hanging out at the zoo when it's a little bit cooler for all the rest of the Saturday evenings and learn a little bit something different while you're enjoying the animals at the zoo.
Good starting place, reedparkzoo.org. Before we go, Jennifer, what's your favorite animal over at the Reed Park Zoo?
I would say one of my favorites is the white rhinos that we have at the zoo, although it does change daily, but the white rhinos are definitely one of my favorites.
I like the wild dogs. I've actually been lucky enough to see them in the wild on the Masai Mara in Africa, and I think they're really neat.
Yes, I have not had the opportunity yet to travel to Africa, something that is totally on my bucket list. So I hope to do that soon. But yeah, definitely getting a chance. If you're not able to travel to Africa, coming to the zoo and getting to watch the wild dogs is definitely much easier than traveling to Africa.
I love their big ears. They are so cool.
Anyway,
Jennifer Stoddard, always a pleasure. Education supervisor at the Reed Park Zoo. Thanks, Jennifer. Have a great day.
Thanks for inviting me today.
All right. The Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. The American Red Cross really needs your help. We'll tell you about how you can help, what you can do right after we take the break. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
When the public weighed in on the first draft of the Regional Transportation Authority Plan, the RTA responded by revising the final plan before voter approval in 2006. The RTA is preparing for a new plan for voter consideration by June 2026 and invites your input on regional transportation priorities. A draft plan will be presented for further public review. Submit your input or learn more at rtanext.com.
Hello, I'm Jeanette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, We are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
All right, welcome back. It's Buckmaster in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio. This would be a great weekend to go over to Silver City. Not only are we getting some good rain, but they're getting great rain over in western New Mexico. So you're going to see a lot of green, which is really nice, isn't it? After the long, long dry spell we've had, the Gila National Wilderness is really greening up, I'm hearing, over in Silver City. And the nighttime lows, upper 50s next week, some nights around 60 degrees. So going to be really nice over in Silver City. Start your planning now. Visit southwestnewmexico.org. With us on our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management is Courtney Sloniker. Courtney is the Southern Arizona Chapter Executive Director for the American Red Cross. Courtney, how are you?
Hey, Bill, I'm doing great. How are you? Thanks so much for having me on today.
Thank you for coming on. I know it's very important to get the word out because the American Red Cross, the Southern Arizona chapter, is in desperate need right now of help. Tell our listeners what's going on.
Yes, Bill, thank you so much. And it's been a very busy summer between, you know, wildfires and home fires and a blood shortage. And so right now we're asking the community to step up in a number of different ways to support not only your community members, but support our neighbors, you know, like you just mentioned in New Mexico and really across the country. Here in Arizona, we've seen 27 wildfires over this summer timeframe. Just today, we're on some flood watches and warnings here in Pima County and across the state. And so we're asking people to step up. Either you can donate your time, you can become a disaster responder. We provide all the training and get you prepared to be on the front lines in a disaster response. You could also donate your treasure. Many times after a disaster, we provide our clients with financial assistance and lodging. So you can support clients that way by donating that treasure. And if you can't volunteer or donate your treasure, another great way to participate and support our mission is through donating blood. And we've seen a blood shortage starting at the beginning of June, and we're unfortunately still in that blood shortage. We're having to collect an additional 1,000 units across the country to meet the demand for blood. We've seen an increase in traumas and elective surgeries are being rescheduled, kind of that were postponed from the pandemic. So we're seeing a huge need for blood, and the only way we can collect blood is through our generous donors rolling up their sleeve and giving so generously.
And how do you
so that's
go,
kind
how,
of a
how do you go about donating blood? What is the procedure? Could you kind of run through that with our listeners, please, Courtney?
Absolutely. So if you've never donated blood before, what I like to tell people, it's a little bit of discomfort to save up to 3 lives. And so when you book an appointment with us, first and foremost, please book an appointment. We are still managing the flow of our blood drives to practice social distancing and have better timing in between our donors. So we ask, please book an appointment to come in and donate. We will try to accommodate walk-ins when we can, but booking an appointment is the best way to help us save lives. So you book an appointment, you can go to redcrossblood.org or you can call 1-800-RED-CROSS and we'll find the closest blood drive near you and get you an appointment booked. When you show up at a blood drive, We get you checked in at the front desk. We get you registered to donate. There's a questionnaire you have to fill out. We essentially do a mini physical to make sure you're eligible to donate that day, and we want to make sure you're healthy and able to donate. And the actual donation process itself to donate whole blood is about 10 minutes. So it's really the longer part of the donation process is you know, answering those questions, getting that mini physical done, but the actual donation itself is relatively short. And again, it's just a little bit of that discomfort to potentially save up to 3 lives. We collect the blood, you get your arm bandaged up, and we get you in the canteen area where you can enjoy some refreshments and some cookies. That's usually, everybody says, the best part of donating is getting those cookies or getting those, Cheez-Its, you name it, get that blood sugar back up, and you can leave the donation center or the blood drive knowing that you've helped save up to 3 lives. So that's really the process. If you have questions, you've never donated, you're not sure if you're eligible, please just give us a call again, 1-800-RED-CROSS. We'll get you connected to somebody. We can make sure that you're eligible to donate and then go ahead and book that appointment for you. And if you're a business out there, a community organization, and you want to host a blood drive, again, you can give us a call. We'd love to partner with you on actually hosting a blood drive where you can save, you know, hundreds of lives by hosting a blood drive. And there's a number of ways that you can support those collection efforts.
How has the pandemic played into all of this? Is that still part of the reason there's a blood shortage?
You know, that's a great question, Bill. The pandemic has definitely impacted our blood supply. You know, at the start of the pandemic, we saw a lot of elective surgeries canceled. And so we had to actually decrease some of our collections to make sure we weren't over collecting. And then as elective surgeries have been rescheduled, we've seen more trauma cases. Maybe people are traveling more, they're on the road more. We've seen an increase in the demand for blood. And so the pandemic has had an impact on the blood collections. However, just a huge shout out and gratitude to all of our donors who continue to donate amidst the pandemic. We implemented all the different protocols to keep our donors safe during the pandemic, in addition to the protocols we already had in place for infection control. And we really, we didn't go into major shortages during the pandemic. And that's an absolute testament to our donors that say, hey, this is still critically important because the need for blood does not stop amidst the pandemic. Cancer patients still need platelets. We still had traumas happening. Those blood products were still needed. So huge shout out again to the donors that kept their appointments. And the best thing you can do, whether we're in a pandemic or not, is book a regular appointment. It's the blood on the shelf that's going to save someone's life. And so when we see those traumas or we see people that need blood transfusions for a treatment, it's the blood on the shelf that's really going to save their life. So keep that regular appointment. You can donate whole blood every 56 days. So about 6 times a year, block out that hour of time and know that you're helping not only your own community, but you're helping the greater country, because that blood will be used here in Southern Arizona. And once our local needs are met, it can go wherever it's needed most.
All right. And before we go, the all-important website, Courtney.
Yes. Go to redcrossblood.org. Or you can go to redcross.org. Again, there's a number of ways you can contribute. You can donate your time, talent, treasure, and your blood, and know that you are impacting hundreds of lives, not only here in Southern Arizona, but across the state. And if you're worried about those wildfires and you're looking at the flash flood warnings and watches, this is a great time to make sure that you are prepared for a disaster. So you can go to redcross.org and check out our preparedness tips for you and for your family.
Courtney Sloniker, glad we could help out today. Thank you very much for what you do.
Thank you so much, Bill. Great to be on. And thank you to all the listeners.
All right. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of Tom Fairbanks, who's been making sure all the buttons are pushed and the, well, I guess things moving in the right direction. They seem to be and were. So that's a big victory there. Have a great afternoon, everybody.